live from the nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timm.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Breaking Beltway. This is the fourth episode with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timm.
Hey, guys.
We got some great stories for you tonight. Last week, we wanted to talk to you about food, and this week, we're going to talk about sex. Because what else is there?
Food and sex.
What are you working on over at Campus Reform?
Well, at campusreform.org, we report on a lot of the crazy stuff going on college campuses, and it just so happens for the past week, a lot of it has been sex-related. The story right here, a small liberal arts school in New York, Hamilton College, is hosting a female orgasm workshop.
An orgasm workshop.
And in case you were wondering, it's a workshop to learn how to have an orgasm if you're a female, how to have different kinds of orgasms, and it's for men, too. You can, you know, learn how to give your girlfriend an orgasm. Here's what the description says.
Okay.
It will teach everything from multiple orgasms to that mysterious G-spot. Whether you want to learn how to have your first orgasm, how to have better ones, or how to help your girlfriend, Maggie and Marshall cover it all.
Wait a second. So this is the University of, wait, what is this? Hamilton College.
Yes.
And how much are they paying for these?
See, they don't know. We don't know exactly. They obviously didn't have to answer my question because
right.
It is a private school. However, we did report on this exact same thing happening earlier this year at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, which is a public school. So that was way worse, actually, because it was, you know, taxpayer funded.
Sure.
But they paid $3,406 for the workshop.
So we can assume that these orgasm workshops are being paid for by student fees.
Yes, yes, they are. They are being paid for by students.
And I'm assuming, you know, those aren't allocated differently. It's student fees. So you're paying, whether you like it or not, you're paying for these
exactly,
courses.
Exactly. And of course there's kids who wouldn't agree with this.
Sure. I mean, gosh, just think about a conservative Christian or a Mormon or a Muslim. I mean, do you really think that they're going to be wanting to fund this? I mean, that's insane.
No, they're definitely not. And what about people's parents? You know, they've struggled for so long, you know, a lot of them to help pay for their college.
So wait, are they naked in these workshops? What are they?
This is how I wrote it in the story. I asked, there was no response. They did not respond, so I just wrote, there's no indication on whether or not the workshop will be hands-on, or if students who are under the age of 18 will be permitted to attend, because that's a whole other issue.
Sure.
You know, a lot of this material is probably not, you know, legally, you know, if you like go on something 18 or older is usually, I don't know.
Sure.
So,
I mean, I can't believe, I would have to think that it would have to be some kind of hands-on. I can't imagine they'd be able to do this with a diagram. You know, they're not going to, or maybe they have like test dummies. I don't think so. I mean, there's gotta be something else going on in these workshops.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've heard of these workshops before and I see them. There's actually a place in Alexandria that hosts them. I see them, every once in a while you'll be walking down there and they have these signs like out on the street saying like free sex workshop in here. And you know, you go in and you pay for it. It's not at a college.
Right. And it's not even like a group of students is hosting it on the college. Like, can we use a school? But, like, it's the college is deciding, you know, we're going to use these student fees to pay these orgasm ladies to come in.
Right.
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely.
And God bless them. I mean, they're in college. They should know by now. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you really got to go to a sex workshop. I mean, this is hands-on experience. Just learn it yourself. I mean, it's really sad when a girl has to go to a workshop to learn how to pleasure herself. I mean, that's kind of pathetic.
Well, what's this lady, this writer in this Texas, the Daily Texan, she doesn't think so.
Really?
Yeah, the newspaper for the University of Texas, Austin, it's one of the most, you know, famous college newspapers that, it, you know, is out there. They're doing this new sex column that they're going to continue with, even though it's very controversial. A lot of people don't like it. It's paid for with student fees. There's students saying they don't like it, and they're still going to continue this column. It has four different students writing under aliases. Mm-hmm. There's a gay guy named Fabulous Frank. There's a virgin named Virgin Veronica. There's Sexy Sally. Sexy Sally says she has so much sex she doesn't need to masturbate. It's just a stupid, like, trash.
So they write these columns every day or every week about their sex
masturbating or Well, the other one, Committed Caroline, wrote a column about masturbating. This is how I thought of it, was she was criticizing the state of Texas for not teaching young girls to masturbate. Like, the state does such a bad job of teaching girls to masturbate.
Damn you, Texas! I mean, really?
I don't even know what that means. I'm glad
that... Never in my mind. Only a liberal would come up with something ridiculous like that. Oh my gosh.
Girls in
Damn you, Texas. I haven't learned how to have a proper orgasm. It's all your fault. It's the government's fault. Oh, my God.
Girls in Texas aren't taught how to pleasure themselves any better than they're taught where to get birth control. So I learned with my hands under the covers by myself. I learned where to touch and how.
This is in a column?
This is a school newspaper paid for by student fees, okay? Since last August, the newspaper has received almost $300,000 in student fees. And the best part is, in March, this newspaper was so broke that they almost had to reduce publication from 5 days down to 4. But they can't cut out this lady combining. They can't cut
Sexy Sally.
They can't cut out. Sexy Sally is ridiculous, okay? Here's the Sexy Sally.
She writes that she may sound like a whore.
She's like, I may sound like a whore, but I just enjoy, quote, casual sex with, quote, gentlemen friends. So she doesn't need to masturbate because she has so much sex. She says, quote, I found a good friend who was down to do the nasty whenever and wherever I wanted. Since then, I've had pretty consistent sex, and I haven't felt the need to masturbate on my own. Some student commented, yo, who cares?
Right?
Keep it to yourself, you know, Sexy Sally.
When I was going to the University of Florida, there was a column in The Alligator, which was an independent newspaper from the University of Florida, but it still received funding. And it had a column that was Sex in the University. And it was a Sex in the City spinoff, obviously, and it was just a huge flop and everybody hated it. But it was like it turned into this huge slut shaming because the girl put out her name. And she was pretty much, you know, shunned from society. But it was kind of the same thing, just ridiculous commentary that nobody cares about, and nobody wants to read. I mean, not even college kids want to read that. I mean, I don't know. It seems to be just trite and just vapid.
I mean, it is. In one of the stories about Fabulous Frank's first kiss, an alumnus wrote on there expressing his frustration on the Facebook page. Seriously, I'm not intending to insult this guy's experience because we each have our own stories to tell. But a feature story about a 14-year-old getting a blowjob?
Yeah.
I mean,
he has a good point. He does have a good point. That's ridiculous. Do we really need to read about Fabulous Frank's first kiss? His gay first kiss who got a blowjob at 14? I mean, really? Do we really need to know this?
I don't understand what the educational value is of it whatsoever. And they defended it, saying, you know, it doesn't matter.
These poor kids, I mean, think about this. They might think this is a really good idea when they're in college, but when they get out of college and they have, I mean, you know, it's a
they're
good
under
thing.
Aliases, they're, it's a good thing but I'm under sure everybody aliases, knows. I'm sure a lot of people can figure it out.
I'm sure a lot of people know. They're college kids. They have big mouths. You know, they're flapping their gums.
They're
telling
drinking,
everybody,
they're drinking
they
a lot.
They tell everybody that they wrote that, and their lives are going to be impacted by these columns. It's going to follow them around for life.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, you know, oh, yeah, weren't you that girl who didn't need to masturbate because you're having
so much
sex?
Yeah, because you were having so much sex in college. Goodness. Like, I mean, the stuff like this doesn't go away. You know, it doesn't go away. And these college kids, they don't understand that. They don't, and, you know, we were lucky enough, we grew up in a time where it really wasn't that big of a deal, you know?
Right.
And, you know, we grew up in a time of MySpace and LiveJournal. It's all gone. It doesn't matter. But, you know, these kids are going to college during these Facebook and Twitter, and they're putting everything out there. And, you know, nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is discreet. Nothing is just for you. Nothing is private or personal. And, you know, I'm one to talk. I mean, I've got my entire life plastered on the internet. And I take the ramifications from that, but to put something like this online, something this private and this personal, what are they getting out of it? They're getting their jollies off on this. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
One of the reporters defended it, saying even though students are complaining, which is a problem because this is these students' money. Okay,
yeah.
This is their fees paying for this.
Absolutely.
She wrote, having a column where four anonymous writers of varying sexual orientations and experiences talk about a weekly topic ranging from first kisses to masturbation is beneficial to a college population because it desensitizes taboo topics and embraces the diversity of sexual history and preferences.
You know what? I think it needs to be more sensitized. How about that?
I mean, okay.
How about that?
I really doubt that talking about kissing is taboo. Because, I mean, this is the opposite of what college should be, preparing people for the real world, okay? In the real world, I don't know what they're talking about, like, to talk about these taboo topics. In the real world, when you get to your job, and you are going to be sitting there with your coworkers talking about how you don't need to masturbate, that's going to be unacceptable. That's going to be definitely unacceptable.
Why is it their responsibility to tell me how to have a good sex life? I mean, yeah, it might be a vital information for your everyday life. Does that mean I need my professor teaching me about it?
Well, that's the whole idea behind big government, is that, you know, then everything is the government's job.
Right.
Everything is your school's job.
For that woman to think that it's Texas's fault.
To teach her to have an orgasm. Maybe she
speechless.
Saw the orgasm. There's no orgasm workshop. She should have gone to Hamilton College.
I'm absolutely baffled by that.
I mean, you know what I mean, though? I mean, these students, we're going to have, a whole bunch of people coming out of school thinking that it's not only acceptable, but necessary and important to talk about these kinds of things openly and publicly, mixing them in an office with people who, have some discretion.
Yeah, I mean, go to school and learn about journalism and reporting and, like, really awesome, cool stuff. And then you can go and be on a show called Breaking Beltway and you can talk about all the sex you want.
You can talk about whatever you want.
Become successful and make a name for yourself and do good work and be, a good, citizen.
Right.
A good citizen of society and stop being a weirdo. I mean, this is weird. This is kids with too much time on their hands.
It's very weird.
And they obviously don't have jobs. They're going to school. They're living off, whatever.
Or they're getting paid from the paper through the student fees. Student fees are paying for these kids to write about their...
Do you think they're really getting paid, though?
They are. The newspaper, they get paid. The newspaper reporters get paid.
Wow.
And, I mean, like...
The state of society. Crazy.
It's nice to enjoy a night, just the two of us. My vibrator and me, that is. Shut up.
Right?
Stop this, talking.
And it's fake edgy. It's fake edgy.
It's fake edgy.
It's like this Fabulous Frank, okay?
Yeah.
He's trying to be a gay rights person. He's trying to, like, let people in on, he's trying to be a voice for the gay rights or whatever. And And to tell everybody about your 14-year-old blowjob, I mean, that's not helping your cause, and it's not helping you.
And it's, the four students are a girl who has been in a long-term relationship, a girl who is a virgin, a sexy Sally, whatever, a girl who doesn't need to masturbate, she has so much sex, Fabulous Frank, there's not a straight, white, black, any race of male.
Right.
There's no male. There's no straight male.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Where's the straight male?
The straight male is not allowed to talk. Are you kidding me? In society, you can't talk anymore because he's a straight male and he's evil.
That's a really good point.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean,
if they did have a straight male, he would be a Muslim or a black man or, what I mean? He would never be a white man or conservative.
I'm surprised they didn't have the straight man be a virgin or something so they could at least get a guy
Right, so
in
they
there
could at least
something.
Get their stereotype in.
But... No, there's no straight man. And so, I mean, they're really, believe it or not, school, University of Texas, there still are straight men out there.
Yeah,
okay?
And they have a voice, and they have sex, too. And maybe straight men don't know how to do it either.
Maybe straight men want, what about if you're really going to express diversity, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are no words for this kind of thing.
And the fact that they're trying to break through taboos is just ridiculous because there are taboos and then there's this just vapid crap.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not contributing. You're not contributing anything. And we'll get into taboos in the next segment because I got a lot of stuff about that that I wrote for Washington Times. Mm-hmm. So we're going to break into some fun-loving criminals right now. Jessica's pick.
She's a mess in a party dress. Hey Jack, don't give up the crack. She's a mess in a party dress. She's clean if you know what I mean. She was a mess in the limousine. Got cocked off a top shelf scotch. Baby gone done made a scene. This one ain't worth the lot. Ain't too scared about fading away. Gonna do it to you every day. Baby! 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 My mama, how your baby grown up? 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 She drinks Chris. mess and she's on the list. $500 bottle of wine. She's a mess in a party dress. Sorry, baby, just one more line. Her ass is the size of Texas. Thank God I passed the ammunition. She's a mess in a party dress. Cause love ain't not contrition. Ain't too scared about doing a line. And we'll do you one more time, baby. 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 Mama, how your baby grown up? 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 Baby. Mama, how your baby grown up?
All right, welcome back, everyone. Again, you're listening to Breaking Beltway every Tuesday, 7 p.m., breakingbeltway.com. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Catherine Timpf.
And Jessica Chasmar.
All right, what did you want to talk about next?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about sex and taboos and all of these crazy things. Some girl was complaining about not being able to reach orgasm, and it's the fault of the state of Texas.
The state of Texas didn't do a good enough job of teaching her to masturbate.
Yeah, they didn't get a good enough job of educating her on how to achieve a climax. So, you know, I was kind of, you know, trying to put this whole thing into perspective, and I wrote a couple stories today, or this week for WashingtonTimes.com, and, you know, I like to cover Sharia law a lot, and I like to cover foreign affairs. And a lot of Muslim countries, because a lot of crazy stuff goes on over there. And I wrote about a couple of stories this week. Saudi men, they got a 10-year sentence and 2,000 lashes for dancing in public.
Sure puts masturbation girl in perspective.
Yeah, they were dancing on top of a car in public, and it violated Sharia law. One guy got 10 years and 2,000 lashes. Another guy got 7 years and 1,200 lashes, and it just went on and on from there. And, you know, they got charged for dancing, quote, naked in public, but the video was posted to YouTube, and they were all fully clothed. I mean, scantily clad, I guess, for Saudi Arabia, shorts and t-shirts. I mean, really?
Yeah.
So, these men, you know, they go to jail for that, you know? And a lot of liberals, you'll never see a liberal complain about something like that. You'll never see the same liberal who cries about not getting her orgasms in Texas. You know, you'll never see her, you know, campaign against jihad. You'll never see her campaign against Sharia law. The kind of people that, you know, the kind of law that is, you know, what was I trying to think of?
No, I mean, tolerance, right? I mean, everyone wants to talk about tolerance, but a lot of people, I think, don't understand international affairs, and I think that's why they don't complain about it, because a lot of people don't know.
I get really frustrated because this is the kind of stuff that I cover every day. you know? And I cover stuff about Sharia and Korea and Syria and Iran. And, you know, instead of those stories doing really well, you know, I check my traffic and I see which one of my stories are doing the best. Right. You know, I write about Morocco, these teens getting arrested on Facebook and all this stuff. And, you know, I write something about Miley Cyrus, and it, you know, goes right to the top of the charts.
Well, that's easy to understand because that's what people are talking about. Oh, like, you know, it's easy to understand crazy girl shaking her butt.
Right.
Around.
Right. That's what Americans understand, you know, and you know, we're all going to cry about Miley Cyrus shaking her butt on TV, but then you have, you know, in Morocco, I wrote another story. In Morocco, two teens were arrested for posting a photo to Facebook of a girlfriend and a boyfriend kissing on Facebook. They were arrested.
Now, has anything like that ever happened before? I mean, why did they think it was okay? I mean, obviously, it's okay.
Right. Well, it also sparked this online protest.
There's some kissing pictures on Facebook I would like people to be arrested for.
Absolutely, absolutely. I could do without the makeout photos.
I could do without the makeout photos.
They're everywhere.
The Instagram with the. I am not advocating that these people were arrested.
Yeah.
But can we just talk about Breaking Beltway does not support
kissing
Facebook
photos.
Kissing photos. Breaking Beltway does not support Facebook kissing.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that. Okay, the only time that is appropriate is if it's like a wedding kiss.
I was just gonna say a wedding kiss photo is fine.
That's the only time it's appropriate. And any other time, if you're just like, I love you.
I see
it's
them
never
with
okay.
The bathroom mirror
it's
photo.
Never okay. I love you. Look at how much I love my boyfriend.
It's like, dude, cool.
I actually, who was it? Somebody that worked with us. Somebody worked with us, and he was not at the Times, but he was a contractor, and he had a picture. He had a picture on his Facebook that was like him making out with his girlfriend or his wife or something. Yeah. And I had to see it every single time. Yeah. Every single time he would post something, I just had to look at that picture, and it drove me crazy. But I worked with him, so I never said anything. But if you're out there, I forget your name, but you suck.
Oh boy, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, he was fired a long time ago.
I wouldn't go that far. I would go. The kissing pictures are always unacceptable. I'm sorry. Get back to the story, because I mean, this is tragic. These are kids.
You know what? These, I don't know. This happened Friday. I don't know what the status is. They're actually, a sit-in protest started. They're being held at a juvenile detention center because they're young kids. It didn't say how old they were, but it was a teenage boy and his girlfriend. They were arrested for violating public decency, and it started an online protest. A lot of people in Morocco are now posting their pictures to Facebook of them kissing.
Good.
So I mean, it's starting gross, like this. Yeah, it's that's okay. I would
fully support
that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would join in. Absolutely. I'd make out with my cat. I would do whatever it took to be a part of that cause, because, you know, these countries are completely backward, and they're you know, this is Sharia law. This, you know, Morocco, this is the whole reason for this is for violating Islamic law. And that's the same thing with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia follows Sharia law. These guys are getting these lashes and 10 years in prison for dancing on a car. And then one thing that's really kind of interesting that I wanted to talk about is this new thing, the Palestinian Authority, they approved online dating, which is kind of big, right? I mean, you know,
they're probably monitoring it.
Oh, absolutely.
If they're just using it to get in? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Fatwa Council, and they ruled that it was okay for online dating. Now, there's a catch, because they have to sign up only on the prerequisite that they're doing this just to get married, for the sole purpose of getting married.
So what if you don't get married?
I don't know.
I mean, what if you don't find someone? Is it like Santa Claus?
I guess, this is what they have to do. They have to meet in person, right? But the whole family has to be involved. The whole family has to be there and be present when they do meet. No pictures are allowed to be exchanged. And, you know, they're not allowed to talk about private matters and stuff like that. And I don't know. They're, you know, nothing that's going to violate Sharia law, you know, to the extent of posting a picture of your face online, stuff like that. So, you know, I guess it's kind of a step, if you want to call it that. It's still so backward. I don't know.
I mean, okay.
Do you want to call that a a victory? I don't know.
I don't really know. What happens if you don't get married?
It's
the freaking Fatwa
Council. I mean, I have a problem saying anything by the Fatwa Council is going to be a victory. I don't know. It's just...
I mean, we have to basically kind of see how it works out because I mean, I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious, definitely. But, you know, you never know. I mean, you never know. I guess I just don't understand. It has to be for the sole purpose of getting married. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And I honestly don't know, you know, what the procedure is. Like, what if you don't like the person? I don't know how much of a say they get in it, because if you get your whole family involved in the meeting, it seems to me like it would be almost like an arranged marriage. You know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't sound to me like
Sounds exactly the same.
It doesn't sound to me like they're, you know, like how we used to do on OkCupid, looking for somebody to go on a date with. It doesn't look like...
Oh, man, you remember that? Remember those days?
Kat and I used to be on OkCupid. We used to go on OkCupid dates with just random idiots.
I went on, like, 3 OkCupid dates. The first guy was very short. remember that one guy that we were just, like, talking? We were just chatting. And out of nowhere, because I brought you with me. We were like,
Oh my god, that was the date from hell. Kat brought me with her on an OkCupid date.
Well, this guy, we're just talking. He tells me he hates cats.
Yeah,
he tells me he hates politics.
Big no no.
And then he tells me out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere, just so you know, I'm not going to tell you how many people I've had sex with because it's just too many. I was like, oh my god.
Kat and I laughed the whole way.
And then he kept texting me. And then he didn't text me for like a couple weeks. Then he texted me again. Just so you know, I just lost my job. So now I can hang out with you whenever you want. It's like, still never. I still never want to hang out with you.
There's a reason why you're on OkCupid, bro.
Oh my gosh. Is your profile still up there?
My profile's still up because I like the research. I like to get people to send me stuff because I like to expose them every once in a while on Facebook.
Yeah, you used to do the OkCupid of the day. Oh man.
The OkCupid of the day was always my favorite thing to do because... Yeah, I don't know. People love to look at that stuff and what people are up to. There was one guy, I don't know if it was real because I didn't take the screenshot.
Yeah.
There was one screenshot of a guy that said that he took the hair of virgins and he buried it in his backyard. And it was like the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was a screenshot from some OkCupid guy. And he said that he loves virgins and he likes to collect their hair. And he keeps it in a jar in his backyard. But those are the kind of people that hang out on OkCupid. One guy said that he wanted to be swallowed by a python. I mean, a lot of different things.
Didn't you try like Match or something though? Was it the same?
No. I only did OkCupid. I wasn't about to pay for that. I just used it for research. But no, I actually did go on a few dates just for the heck of it, and it wasn't that bad. But yeah, I've heard some horror stories. That's for sure. But you know, it's. I highly, highly, highly doubt it that the Palestinian women are just going on there saying, oh, you look cute, I want to talk to you. I feel like it's a little bit
There's no
more...
little winky faces or no. so-and-so rated you as hot.
Right. No, yeah. I doubt it. I doubt they're doing any personality tests on how good they are in bed.
Yeah, what's your kink factor? I mean, OkCupid, I bet you that, I wonder what the status is of NSA and OkCupid. I wonder if NSA is all up on the OkCupid.
Oh, did you see that story today about James Holmes? They admitted his adult friend finder profile into the trial today. And it said, like, will you come visit me in jail? It says on his adult friend finder. It's like a sex website. It's not OkCupid. It's a sex website. But
I've never even heard of that.
Will you come visit me in jail? It was admitted into court today, so I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, when did he send that message?
It was before the shooting, yeah.
Oh my gosh. What? Come on, man. You get a message like that, you tell somebody.
Well, he's psychotic.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, maybe. I guess we don't know. Well, you'd have to be psychotic, but...
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know about legally psychotic. We'll see.
Right, yep.
But, yeah, so things are a lot worse. No matter how bad you think it is here, things are so much worse everywhere else. And I understand why that's a horrible argument, because America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and it should be the best and number one. But we can always look at these Sharia-run countries and see gay people getting their heads cut off and exiled from the country, and we can always say, hey, ours ain't so bad.
That's moral. That's the moral of the story with Jessica.
We're not cutting gays' heads off.
Aesop's Fables with Jasmar's Fables and Breaking Bellway.
America.
And what have we learned today, Jessica?
America's awesome and Sharia sucks.
Mm. Sometimes I don't even know where to...
With that, we're going to move into a song by The Cure.
We're back, but the government's not back. The government is still in a shutdown, technically. I love, though, how when it was first happening, people thought it was an actual shutdown.
Yeah, like a catastrophe. It was like the end of the world.
The government was actually going to completely shut down. I had to go to get a new ID at the DMV, and it was actually, it took me maybe 30 minutes because nobody was there, because I'm sure all these idiots thought that the DMV would be closed.
Right.
I mean, all that it is like the monument's closed. I tweeted at you, Obama, and I asked you, why are you paying guards to keep people out of the memorials instead of just paying them to guard like they normally
right.
do?
I mean, is that not the most idiotic thing you've ever heard?
How are more people not talking about that? That's what I don't understand.
How much money are they spending on these signs and these authorities
fences.
To enforce these...
Fences.
These barricades to enforce this shutdown.
Certainly
how
not.
How much are we spending on that?
Certainly not any more than it would cost, or any less than it would cost, to just let people in the monuments. Could you imagine, did you see that story about the people in the Grand Canyon who had their wedding plan for the Grand Canyon in
no.
the Grand Canyon, and they were like, no, you can't have your wedding, sorry, National
oh,
Park.
Oh my gosh, what would
could
you do?
And you know how much planning goes into any wedding, let alone a wedding at the Grand Canyon.
Right, I mean that's a destination
Obama,
wedding.
Obama, you don't own the Grand Canyon.
Right.
Like, ugh, yeah, it is a destination wedding. So I mean, all it wasn't like, oh, you know, most of the wedding. I mean, I don't really know, but probably most of the wedding party didn't live at the Grand Canyon.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, you have a wedding at your hometown church and most of the people are there anyways. Maybe a couple people fly in. That's bad enough. But, like, there was weddings on the mall. There's a lot of these destination weddings. And for what?
Right.
Because of that. Because they, the liberals, the Democrats, they want to be able to tell these stories. Right. Oh, look at the Republicans. The Republicans, they're shutting down the government. These Republicans aren't letting people have their weddings. That's not what's going on.
Right.
Any logical person can understand that that's not what's going
on. But people aren't illogical. And, then you know, the low-information voters out there, those are the people that, you know, they're trying to sell this story to. And it works. It works over and over and over again. And, you know, this... I wrote a story for WashingtonTimes.com the other day, and the government shutdown, it's forcing people out of their homes. You know, they're being, these people at Lake Mead, they're now, I did a profile on this couple, this elderly couple, 77 and 80 years old, kicked out of their private home that they own outright, this cabin. Now they're living above a ice cream store because the federal government owns the land that their house sits on at Lake Mead. And, you know, when they signed the lease, it had that specification in there. But still, I mean, these are their private homes that they own. And Obama's like, nope. And I'm not just saying it's just Obama, but I'm just saying, like, it's kind of funny that you said, like, Obama, you don't own the Grand Canyon. Like, this isn't Soviet Russia. Stay out of my house. This is, right. I don't understand. And they're keeping people out of, they closed down the World War II memorial in Normandy. I mean, yeah. We're closing down American memorials overseas, too.
But it is Obama, because I'll tell you right now, the National Parks, Department of Interior, that's executive branch. So, yeah, it is Obama.
Yeah. And I mean, you still got Congress.
I'm not saying that Congress isn't really horrible right now. I'm not saying that
they're... And it's a Democratic Senate, so it's Obama, too. You know what I mean? But... I don't know. It's just this whole shutdown. It's a dog and pony show. It's meant to make Republicans look so bad, and it's meant to make it as painful as possible. Obama is punishing you. He's punishing you by not being able to go to the World War II memorial. He's punishing you by not being able to stay in your homes. He's punishing you by not being able to have your wedding on the day that you planned in the place that you planned. And he's going to come out of this smelling like a rose. And the Republicans, you know, the GOP is fragmented and dying.
Yeah.
And we see that happening every day. And I'll be behind that movement every step of the way. But the problem with that is we still have a GOP and we still have a Democratic Party. And the GOP is so fragmented that, you know, we're getting blamed for everything.
And I don't know why we're not talking more about, I mean, like, why he's closed. There was a shutdown before. The parks weren't closed. I don't think Clinton closed the parks. I'm almost positive.
I haven't looked into that.
I'm not sure. But, I mean, come on. I don't know why we're not talking about the fact that how are you saving any money by keeping people out? The whole point is that we don't have money.
Right.
That's the whole point of the shutdown.
So nobody even knows that. So we're going to send out our little Obama regime to go and all of our little officials out there to set up barriers and keep you out. I mean, these are things that we own. And, you know... The World War II Memorial is privately funded, okay? Not only that, not only is it privately funded, but there's a surplus that's kept in the Treasury for that World War II Memorial. So what happened to the surplus? Is it still there? What's it being used for? How come we can't reopen the World War II Memorial with that surplus? Because I can guarantee you those vets would be okay for that. Mm-hmm. You know, what are those private funds doing? It's a privately funded memorial. Why does the government think that they have the right to keep us out of our own damn memorial? I don't get it.
Yeah, we own that.
We
own those things.
The World War II veterans own that memorial. They fought for it. That's the reason why it's there. That's the reason why we liberated Europe. I mean, I don't know. It's infuriating, and it's all political. There is absolutely no logic or reason to it. It is political. It is supposed to make you suffer. That's all I can say.
Well, can we talk about this? We can talk about this bar owner now, or we can talk about.
Oh yeah, and there's one guy that's actually trying to benefit from this, and I love it because this is a great idea. This guy Steve Hadley, he's a bartender at a Capitol Hill bar called Sonoma. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. I've never even heard of it.
I'm not sure where it's located either, but this guy, I think he's Italian, and he started pricing his beer for government employees, I guess, are $2 to help the furloughed employees. Then for Congress members, a beer is actually Peroni. Okay, we're going. Okay, so he is Italian. Peroni beer, $25 per beer for Congress members. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then for Obama, $702 for a beer for Mr. Obama, because he says that is the price of my Obamacare penalty plus $2.
I love it. And that's bold, because you, saying something bad about Obamacare is really a bold thing to do. Like,
while you're working in the district and you own a Capitol Hill bar, right? Very ballsy.
Well, even for me, I was on, you know, Fox and Friends on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I was on for a 3.5 minute segment sitting on the couch, where I talked about, you know, how it doesn't really make sense for youth to sign up for Obamacare and how a lot of youth are noticing that. And I've gotten so much flack. Posted on my Facebook, and I've had, you know, people I just did comedy with arguing with each other, basically, on my Facebook, saying things about me, you know, not about me, but about, you know, some of the things that I said. Mm-hmm. The 3.5 minutes, it's just suggesting that this law is not perfect.
Right.
You know, how dare I? So right. I hope it works out in his favor.
I've gotten in a couple arguments with a couple people about this Obamacare, a couple liberals that I know personally. And, you know, they are for Obamacare, but they still haven't been able to get into the website.
Right.
So, like, we're having this conversation. We're going back and forth, back and forth. I'm saying it's never going to work. She's saying it's totally going to work. And I'm like, Brittany, have you even been able to get in? Right. Have you even been able to get in? And nobody's really been able to get in. And what story did I just... I was just reading it. Maryland, they've only registered like 320 people.
That's bizarre.
320 people bizarre. In my state. And
for a week in a state that is bizarre.
It's been open since Tuesday. And it just... 320-something people. I mean, that is the biggest failure. And now you have Jay Carney saying that we're going to start putting people in waiting rooms. So it's already started. Yeah. I mean, people are already worried about, you know, their doctor's offices turning into DMVs. Now, you're going to be put into a waiting room on a website and have to sit on a website until they'll let you into the website. Okay, so it's already started. Your doctor is a DMV clerk.
Oh my gosh. Of the experiences I've had at the DMV recently, that's the last thing I want to hear. But, I mean, but you can't say that, right? Because the arguments, it's just like typical. Like, liberals don't like to talk, get into the facts. They use what they say is, well, why don't you want people to have health care?
Yeah, why don't you want people to have free health care? I saw some quote in a story. I can't. For the life of me, remember what I'll never forget the quote. And she said, you know, I really wanted everybody to have free health care, but I didn't realize I was the one who was going to have to pay for it. Kidding me?
There's no such thing as free.
Are you kidding me? I mean, what were the talking heads saying all this time when Obamacare was trying to get passed? I mean, what was Rush saying? What was all the you know, conservative talking heads constantly, like, this is going to cost you a lot of money. There's no way around it.
Yeah,
there's
I mean,
no way around it.
I think that people don't
understand. They think that money is just like, poof, there it is. It's Barack Obama's stash. You know, it's his war chest. I don't know. What do they think? What do they think this money is coming from?
Well,
they think we just print more and it just exists.
Yeah, people don't understand there's no such thing as free. Like, the government paying for it means the taxpayers paying for it. The government doesn't have money.
Right.
What do you think? The government's just a money factory?
Right.
Where do you think they get all this money?
Well, it is.
Where do they think they get all this money from?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I guess it's because they don't talk about it. They just, like, that's what campus reform, basically, what we talk about a lot, is, you know, these schools, these students are going to these schools that are very liberal, and they're not having their beliefs challenged. So when I go out and make these videos and talk to these kids, and I'm like, well, why? What are the reasons for this? They don't know because they haven't been asked to defend it.
Right.
They'll just, you know, say, well, everyone should have health care, and I'll ask them how. Why?
That's true. Yeah.
He's going to be like, well, because everyone, the GOP just doesn't want people to be sick. Like, that's literally, it's the GOP wants people to be sick and die because they hate poor people. They want poor minorities to all get sick and die so they have more money for gold-plated guns. To give to children.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally the kinds of attitudes that not just these students, I mean, that they're hearing from so many of their professors. So, I mean, I think it's just going to get worse. And God forbid someone like me, because people will say, you're such a jerk for doing these videos. I'm like, why? I don't have a hidden camera. okay?
Right.
These people are saying, and I tell them, I ask them, well, I'm saying, we're going to talk about this issue. Would you like to come be on my video, and I will ask you questions about Obamacare. I will ask you questions about Obama's Nobel Peace Prize. And they are saying to me, yeah, I feel confident enough in talking about this subject to talk to you on video about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they're talking about, but they really believe they do. And that is just, I think, very eye-opening. I think that's very eye-opening to...
You know, one of the most valuable lessons I ever had was going to grad school at a liberal college and being a conservative / libertarian. Mm-hmm. Because I was challenged every step of the way. Right. And it made me a fantastic writer because, you know, I had three liberals on my board reviewing my thesis. So... when you're combating three liberals, I had to really defend the crap out of myself. And it made me a better writer. And it made me, you know, a better champion for the cause, you know? And that is a lesson that I will never be able, that's invaluable. And a lot of these kids are not getting that same education.
No, they're not.
They're not being challenged. They're in an echo chamber. And you're going to, they're going to be running the country, so.
Great. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
All right. No. We gonna go into a song?
Yeah. Let's go into something now. What do we got?
Mike Wilman. Money ain't nothing but money. When you get to the money, it ain't nothing but money. Love ain't nothing but love. When you learn how to love, it ain't nothing but love. Party ain't nothing but a party. When you party every day, it ain't nothing but a party. Love, money, party. Cause there ain't much difference in a one night stand and one that ain't for me.
Is it too much? Cause you hate that you love everything that he do and you can't deny you wanna. So what? With my heart, a lot of fire in this bitch and blow. My money ain't nothing. Money can't buy you love. I don't give a damn if you're sitting on a trail. Money ain't nothing. After that run out, what about the real and the way you feel? Money get low and the DJ stops and the music slow down and that shit get blurry. Love, money, party, yeah.
Money ain't nothing but money. When you get to the money, it ain't nothing but money. Love ain't nothing but love. When you learn how to love, it ain't nothing but love. Party ain't nothing but a party. When you party every day, it ain't nothing but a party. Love, money, party.
To the money, it ain't nothing but money.
Love ain't nothing but love. When you learn how to love, it ain't nothing but love. Party ain't nothing but a party. When you party every day, it ain't nothing but a party. Love, money, party.
Coordinate. Whoa. They both got that gorgeous face. They both shine. They both mine. Getting green cause it's go time. God damn, I'm so fine. You know those like supermodel type girls? Yeah, I'm chilling with those kind. B.I.G. Shine down while I'm very on. Detroit player boy, I get my berry on an all night flight to an island. I be gone in the morning. I don't even need to carry on. What? This that all night get dressed up, boy. Red cup get messed up, boy. Me and Molly, it's just us, bitch.
Money ain't nothing but money. When you get to the money, it ain't nothing but money. Love ain't nothing but love. When you learn how to love, it ain't nothing but love. Party ain't nothing but a party. When you party every day, it ain't nothing but a party. Love, money, party.
Yeah, that was also a Jessica Chasmar selection. You're really into Miley Cyrus.
Yes, that song's growing on me. I don't know why. There's something about Miley Cyrus. I like her. I bought my first pop CD ever? In my entire life. I've never bought a pop CD in my life.
So you paid for bangers.
I paid for bangers.
You paid for bangers.
Yes. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm a rocker chick to the core, but I like this CD. I like Miley Cyrus. I don't know. I don't know what it is about her, but I like her. I know a rebel when I see one, and I think she is a rebel, and I like her interviews. I like,
I think it's annoying.
Everybody thinks it's annoying.
I'm a grown-up now.
Everybody thinks it's annoying.
Look at how grown up I am. Being grown up does not mean whatever the hell you're doing, Hannah Montana.
Oh, hey, Kat, do you remember when we went to that Rod Stewart concert and the girls in front of us started screaming, "Yay, Hannah," making fun of us? Do you remember that at all?
Yeah.
We went and saw Stevie Nicks, and we were there for Stevie Nicks, and we were screaming, what were we saying? I love you, Stevie. That's what we said. I love you, Stevie.
We do love Stevie.
And we love Stevie Nicks. Love Stevie. Okay? And these older women, probably in their early 40s in front of us, started mocking us and saying, "I love you, Hannah." Like,
sorry that we're having fun with our lives and we're just sitting on the ground.
Sorry. This isn't Papa Bear's story time. Get out of your seats. Stand up. This is a rock concert and have some fun.
I don't know why you would pay for a ticket to just sit there. Yeah. Like, listen to a CD then.
And how dare you? I mean, I've been listening to Stevie Nicks my whole life. How dare you compare me to some little Miley Cyrus tween? And yeah, I realize that I like Miley Cyrus, but that was before I even knew who she was, to be honest. Right. But I remember I said something to her that probably wasn't very nice. But yeah, that made me angry. But you know, this whole Miley Cyrus thing. I wrote a story for Washington Times. And Sinead O'Connor, do you remember her? The Nothing Compares.
Nothing compares.
I guess Miley's Wrecking Ball video was kind of mirrored after that. She wanted it to be really raw and personal. And I guess Sinead didn't like that too much. She saw the interview and she took to her personal blog. And it's the ultimate slut shaming. I've never seen anything like it. It is angry. It is packed with the F word. She calls her a prostitute for the music industry, calling the music industry a pimp. She's obviously very, very angry with the entertainment industry. And she says that it's motherly advice and that she's coming from a good place. But this comes across to me as patronizing and condescending and how dare you. And one thing that Miley did that I kind of like that I thought was funny was she tweeted in perfect 20-year-old fashion. She was swift and cruel, and she...
What'd she say?
She tweeted a snapshot of Sinead O'Connor's tweets from a couple years ago, and she said, "Before Amanda Bynes, there was," and gave a screenshot of Sinead O'Connor's tweets about her meds, needing to be put back on meds, her psychiatrist traded her to somebody else, blah, blah, blah. It was really, really bad, but it was funny.
That's bad. I mean, I think making fun of mental illness is bad.
Sure, but I would have done the same thing. If somebody would have wrote this letter to me, I mean, think about somebody writing this letter to you. You know,
I would just put your clothes back on. I would just say, you know, she's desperately trying to be relevant.
She is trying to be relevant, and actually she was just in the headline about something else today. It was something completely unrelated to Miley Cyrus. She was in a headline from something else, and I forget what it was, but I know that that's the only reason why. It was because she wrote this letter, and she was brought back into the spotlight, and that's why people are covering her now.
Right.
But, I don't know, I was just like, who's Sinead? Come on now. You're like 50. Come on. Leave me alone, you know? She's 20 years old, she's got millions of dollars, she's one of the most popular singers in the world right now. Everybody's watching her, and she's having the time of her life, obviously, and she's being stupid and being a 20-year-old. I mean, I don't know. I don't see the waste case troubled the person that everybody saw in Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Like, I don't see that.
Oh, no.
And everybody, you know, people are telling me, look at her tongue. She has herpes. Like, you should see some of the comments by some of the conservatives on my wall, the kind of people that...
Wait, why are people saying she has herpes?
The way they talk to me, and because of her tongue. I don't know. One guy...
It doesn't make sense.
One guy said, look at her tongue. It's got this, that, and the other. I guess he's a doctor. I don't know. It's got a... He used a lot of scientific terms. And he said, these bumps mean this. This bumps mean...
Gross.
Really nasty. What a weird creep. Really nasty.
That's disgusting.
Shut up.
That's disgusting.
And people like that... That was on my Facebook. I forget who he was. But... And then people start to say that... I am fake edgy because I am advocating on the side of Miley Cyrus, even though, you know, I'm supposedly a smart woman who has a brain, but I also might like Miley Cyrus, so I must be faking it. You know what I mean? I must be lying. I don't know. The one thing that I have noticed about, you know, my recent Miley Cyrus fixation is that conservatives are pretty freaking mean. They're pretty freaking mean about girls doing this kind of stuff. So, I don't know. She's making money. She's doing her thing. Whatever. More power to her. I don't have a problem with it. And I like her music. So
you love her music. You love her. You love her. Okay, if you met her, would you cry?
No. There's nobody on the planet.
Are you in a Miley Cyrus meet Miley Cyrus contest?
There's nobody on the planet that I would ever be starstruck by unless it was somebody that's dead. If it was like
that's
Jesus.
How I feel. or Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kurt Cobain fan, but there are some people that I'm sure I would be really excited to meet, but I can't think of one right now. But yeah, Miley Cyrus is definitely not one of them. Definitely not one of them. But definitely want to talk about that. And there was also Scarlett Johansson got Sexiest Woman Alive again.
She's very beautiful. An Esquire? But come on. There's lots of beautiful people out there. That's the again part bothers me. And I she's pretty. I don't know if she's sexy because there's nothing to her.
What has she done? What roles? I can't even think of the most recent thing she's even done.
I don't think has she done anything recently?
I have no idea, but I don't understand why someone like her. Oh, Iron Man 2, I guess? What?
I don't know. I don't go to the movies. I don't watch movies.
I mean, okay, I read books. So she's the sexiest woman alive, and all I saw were some pictures. But, I mean, for the second time, come on, just pick somebody else. I don't know.
That yeah, I mean, the second time, it's like makes her sound she's like superhuman kind of sexy, which, I mean, obviously, superhuman do sexy, I wish exactly. I looked like that? Absolutely, I do.
Nominated Sofia Vergara. Do you know her?
I don't even know who that is.
From Modern Family. The Colombian, she's really, really funny. Oh, I love her. And she's sexy, and she's really funny. You know, she has a personality. I don't see Scarlett Johansson as being really anything other than the lips, you know?
Yeah.
The big lips,
she's
you know?
Got nice lips, though.
That's really all I see. I don't think she's a great actress or anything. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, and a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter agreed.
I mean, the whole again thing, it's like, yeah, she's gorgeous, but come on, give someone else a chance.
Yeah, a couple of the other people were like, oh, Jennifer Connelly, Kate Upton, like, there's a ton of other people that definitely could have won. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they really love Scarlett Johansson. Maybe somebody there has a thing for her.
Clearly.
But you guys are listening to Breaking Beltway. We are on every Tuesday night with Jessica Chasmar.
And Catherine Tim.
Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we post it to BreakingBeltway.com, and you can catch it later on iTunes.
Thank you for joining us, you guys.
And we're going to bring you another song.
Interrupting all programs. This is a radio crash from pirate satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Cuban army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is radio crash from pirate satellite. Is an urban Vietnam giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm. This is a radio crash tearing up the seven.
need the mushroom cloud. This is Radio Kiss, no need that primo swell. Pirate satellites, opting your living room, cashing in the middle of life.